parshas Kisisa is tremendously significant in many ways. The first pasuk has its own level of significance before getting to the main event of the Yagim Midos. And it begins with a instruction from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe. Here we have the aftermath of Chet HaEgel, and the Luchos have been destroyed. And Moshe is told that he has to make his own set of Luchos this time, that he has to make them himself. So the language the Pasuk is, V'yomer Hashem al Moshe b'solucha shnei Luchos avanim karishonu, that you should make this set of Luchos. And here Chazal have a comment, which is very striking, that you should make it, and not like the first set of Luchos, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu made. Why should Moshe make it? Because you should know what it feels like, that the cost that goes into the Luchos, the expense, the effort that goes in, then you're so casually throwing them off the side of the mountain. And that's very surprising, because here we have the tradition that what Moshe did was correct. The end of the pasuk is Shibarta. Chazal have a comment, Yashikosh Shibarta, you were right that you broke the Luchos. So the idea that there's some kind of a criticism involved here is very surprising. And here the Bali Musar have a crucially important point that is very important for our mentality right now and for all the time. And that is that, yes, Moshe did what was necessary, he did what was correct, but that doesn't mean that that can't be balanced with appreciating the cost. There can still be a Rachmanis. There can still be a sensitivity for what the impact of a hard decision is. So yes, Luchos had to be broken, and Moshe should also appreciate what the impact of that was. And that's actually Mitzuyik in the language here, because it's not saying that Moshe was wrong. He's saying that he should understand what the cost was. So that's very consistent with this interpretation, that it's not actually a criticism, but rather, you should understand the impacts. That's a very important soul that Bali Musar have, and that is relevant to many, many things, including the current cheshbonos. But appreciate both sides of it, that the rachmanis that one has to feel cannot be an impediment to making the hard decisions and to doing what has to be done, and doing what has to be done cannot be a reason to necessarily be absolved of the rachmanis that one has to feel for the cost. So Moshe Feinstein has a comment here also that the need to have Moshe involved is perhaps reflective of the fact that what went wrong the first time was that the Jews got involved in the Bazara because they weren't necessarily looking to be idolatrous, but they had a misunderstanding because they thought that they needed an intermediary in order to get to God, and that maybe was something that had to be addressed the same way that the second set of Luchos talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim as opposed to Bria Solam, something that was more relatable for them. So here too, they have more involvement from Moshe rather than the first Luchos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself made. Ibn Ezra quotes from one of the Gaonim that the second set of Luchos was actually better from the first, although he himself disagrees. But the Nitziv explains that it's only the second set of Luchos that has the basis for Chiddush to the Yudgim Midos. And that's the reason why Moshe was told to write them himself. The Beis Halevi and his Drashus, the Drashus Chaz, writes that the first set had all of Torah Shabbat Peh already written in it, and the second set is what was left for us to figure it out. And therefore, each one has a milo to it, whether it's that everything is laid out with no possibility for mistakes. That was the first set of Luchos. But the second set of Luchos is where all that ability for involvement in learning and for amelus in learning and for Pulpula Shel Torah actually takes place. And that's relevant also to what the Gemara tells us, Maseches Nedarim. The Gemara says Rav Yisro Chanina notes that the Torah was actually given to Moshe specifically and to his descendants, but because of his Tovas Ayin, he gave it to everyone else, and that is his special trait here. So what does that refer to? So the Gemara suggests Pilpula, and Rashi understands that that means Lahavin Davar B'Toch Davar. Tostus and the Rush refer to Charifas. Sabdarich says that this is something that anyone could do even without Moshe deciding to pass this down, and he suggests that the idea that it's considered Torah was a special gift of Moshe. Rashi also notes here that Moshe became rich from the carvings of the Luchos, and the Chavetz Chaim notes that this would have been something that he would have been entitled to anyway because of his labor. The point being that he was actually commanded to take the carvings because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to be rich, because the Gemara says over there in the Darim Daf Amichas that the Shekhinah specifically is able to descend upon those who are not focused on their needs, because they are satisfied because they are rich. And the Azayim Bakar is now in the Torah comments that isn't it the case that he heard the Shekhinah before? And he explains that the whole mila of a person being rich for this purpose is that we want people to be able to take him seriously. And it was only after the Egel Azav and the impact that that had on the mentality of the Jews that people started to worry about that. The Sefer Maskil Eisen has a little bit of a similar but different approach in that point, says that they were already rich from before because of the Bizas Mitzrayim. And the Sefer the Torah's spin on that is that that didn't have that effect because that was because of the mitzvah, but the Egel Hazav had this kilkul effect on them, and now they needed to have this added element for Moshe so that they could relate to it, that they could respect them. The Sefer Ohel Moshe, he writes that Moshe specifically becomes rich this way in order to convey that one can gain through the Torah itself, and that this is the psolus, that it's only worthwhile together with the Torah. So also in terms of the language here, Ashrohoyu al haluchos, that's relevant to a machokas in general as to whether the content on both luchos was the same or not. The Sif understands from here that it wasn't, and that's relevant to the point we noted before about whether the Torah Shlapeh was actually on the first set of luchos, the Beis Halevi, etc. And the Al-Shuk understands that they were indeed the same. So this language at the end of the Pasuk, as we noted before, Asher Shibarta, the Gemara and Sefer Shabbos, and that Pezayin and Aleph, tells us that this was a compliment to Moshe for what he did, Asher Kor, Asher Shibarta. And the Torah Smima raises the question about how do we know that? It doesn't obviously contain complimentary language. And he explains that it's not Derech Eretz to mention something that would have reflected badly on him. So, therefore, the fact that it's being mentioned somewhat gratuitously otherwise must mean that it was a compliment to him and something that Moshe is being credited for. And the Gemara Menachas sent to Afsadi Tesimi Beis has an expression here, which is sometimes evoked in other contexts, that sometimes we have to take steps like that in order to preserve the Torah. Hamim Shebitula Shol Torah, Hihi Kiyuma. So the next pasuk says, "V'enachol b'voker, v'alisa b'voker ha'sinai, v'yitzav t'lisham b'horosh shahar." So you will go up. And Soloveitchik commented that the ascent here is meant to be symbolic of tshuva, just like descent symbolizes sin. And a sinner is a victim in the sense that he's subject to gravity, he lets forces overcome him, while a bal tshuva takes control, and he imposes himself upon the forces of nature. He overcomes gravity, and that's what Alisa is meant to represent. The next pasuk tells us, V'ish lo yala imach, v'gam ish al yira b'chol har, v'hatzon v'habakar al yiru el mul ahar hu. So here, the Tanchuma comments that no one should go up with you, v'ein lecha yafim and tznias, that there isn't anything that's better than tznias, and Chazal had this idea that the second set of luchos was more successful than the first because of the tznias which they were given. That the first set was given with all the fanfare, and the second was given in this much more private environment, and that was the secret of their lasting power. It's brought from the students of Nechsam Sofer, that when Nechsam Sofer would do Achnas Sefer Torah, he would actually do it in a very quiet way because of this, even though this Otsir Plosa Torah himself points out that the Trush Nechsam Sofer can stand the other way. Then he says that the minig is, and that we all are familiar with, that one should do it publicly. But this idea is a very fascinating one, that perhaps the Davka should be done in a private way because of this notion that the second luchos were more successful in being given in a tzandua environment. So following this, we have the very crucial part of our liturgy, the very, very significant Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, which is such a important part of how we communicate through tshuva and what we are commanded to do in times of tzar. The Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Adaf Yudai, tells us that Kadosh Baruch Hu dressed up like a shliach tzibur and told Moshe what they should do when the Jews are in trouble. Yehosu l'fanai, that they should do like this and kaseder hazos, and I will forgive. So what does that mean, that they should do like this? Reish HaChachma notes that it doesn't seem like we always get forgiven when we recite the Yom HaRachamim. And he explains that it doesn't mean simply to say, but yes, Lofana means they have to actually do. They should imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midos. That's an idea that you find in the Shla and others. And this is a comment that many have, that there's more than simply reciting the Yom HaRachamim, but it's about actually living the Gimel Midos HaRachamim. And that's a whole discussion whether all these concepts are consistent with that. So, for example, the Mida of Kale, is that something that human beings can do? That sounds like that's specific to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah has that language regarding Yaakov as well. So we find that that's something that refers to strength and energy, that we should use that for Chesed. The Rosh, in his comments to Maseches Rosh Hashanah, explains that all of these midos are midos of vitor, of being able to give up something. And Rav Dov Schwartzman, in his drashos, printed a few years ago, he writes that this is in the sense of willingly giving up what you could have, like being magor al midosa, and that if one who is able to do that, to be magor al midosa, Makarish Baruch, who acts mida k'neged mida, and these midos then have to result in being lifted higher. If one stumbled before, you can only succeed by aiming higher. And that's the notion here. And this idea of language in the pasuk of Vayavor, Vayikra, Rav Shamshon Paul Hirsch writes that this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response to Moshe's request of Hareini and Hodieini. And the question now of the presentation of the Yigamu Midos and how exactly to count them. So Tosis and the Rosh, in their commentaries to Rosh Hashanah and Daf Zayin and the Beis, they write that the first two Hashems are actually the first two Midos. But Rav Nissim Gaon understands that it's specifically the second one that starts the count. The Meiri writes that Yesh Omrim, that we should actually start counting from Kel Rachel. And Teriyam and Maral actually agree with that. And then Behuda, in his drush, the Sabbath Sion, the Jewish ballad, explains it's because the Shem Hashem is actually not pronounced as it's spelled. So how are we going to be able to do that? So he said that's why these opinions don't count that as among the Midos. But the Gemara does Darshan, Hashem Hashem, the Gemara there in Rosh Hashanah, and it says, I am Hashem before the sin, I am Hashem after the sin. And the Rosh raises the question of why would we need Hashem to have Rachmanis before the sin? And one answer he gives is that even though God knows that we're going to sin, nonetheless, he treats us by Sher Hisham. He doesn't hold us responsible for what he knows will happen. Or that maybe this is a reference to a Bavazara where even Machshava is an issue. And Kifter, his comments about the Torah Tanima, writes that the Rachamim is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu helps the person not to sin, not to carry out the intentions that he has. Simplicis Lebroid, in his son Darach, notes that the idea of Hashem being there after the sin is that that means that each one increases the exposure of this Mida in that world, in this world. And that could also be what we mean. We say that Tshuva Me'ava actually creates the Zechuyas, makes the person even better than he was before. So this increases the various Midos of the Rachamim through this exposure. And Shamshon Fal Hirsch comments about this idea of before and after, that God displays the concept of unity within diversity, the fact that he's always the same. Of salvation, in his Shiur Mosech Rabbi Mori, notes that the power of tshuva is that Hashem is just as present afterwards as he was before, that he's able to transcend time and causality. So to go further, so the next word is Kael, like we noted before. So Rav Shersh explains this to mean the original source of all energy and power. Rachem, Rav Hirsch explains that this is like the Rechem of a mother. Once he grants life, he sustains it. Chanun, Rav Hirsch explains, means that he replenishes that power. Erech HaPayim, Rav Hirsch writes, that means he waits patiently for the fruit of moral perfection. And Rav Chesed, Rav Hirsch explains, means he bestows blessings to fulfill every aspiration and to fulfill every good intention. What about Emes? First writes that means to be faithful to the original goals. That is not going to even provide kindness if that's going to undermine the goals. Rav Huttner, in his Pachad Yitzchak to Rosh Hashanah, in Maimer Tazvav, has a lot to say, which has a lot to say about this. He writes that Emes means to be faithful to the source. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem is the original Emes, and on every Yom Tov we ask for Emes, and on Rosh Hashanah we add Ki Ata L'Kim Emes. We want to go back to the source, as is Rosh Hashanah. So here we say, Hashem, Hashem. Hashem keeps his promise to Avram with the Yetzias Mitzrayim. But we need another level for forgiving the ego. So all the other midos, we understand how they're relevant. So they're attributes of chesed and forgiveness. So what about emes? So emes here is constancy. So there won't be any breaking of the second luchos, because the promise of tshuva is constant rooting. And that's why the Rambam, when he talks about the siman of tshuva, he talks about how the Yodea Talumas, the one who knows all the secrets, knows that the individual who has done tshuva is going to stay consistent. Rashi, in his comments over there to the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Yizayin, writes that regarding the Midah of Emes, we saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, saw that it wouldn't last with Emes, so he joined with Chesed, and that's why we have Rav Chesed. Rav Pam, as quoted in Sefer Torah L'Malach, writes that we think it should be the other way around. Then you should have Chesed first. The point is that Hashem allows opportunities for Chesed so that we should be Zocha B'din. So now, commenting on the next pasuk, notes of Chesed, La'alafim, first notes that he gives the blessings to the worthy, but it's not restricted to them because it overflows to so many others, so that's the thousands. And that was most significant to Moshe because it shows that we need humility in judging Hashem's ways, because who knows the future? So Nosi Ovo in the first comments means that lifts the burden of sin off of the penitent. Now these words, Pesha means rebellion, and Chatal, that means shogeg, carelessness. So in terms of the order, the Gemara Maseches Yuma and Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis tells us that he forgives the first two as if it was the third, and others on the third, is the least serious, but it happens the most. And the Farsha also comments that Hashem lifts all of these things out of the normal laws of cause and effect. And Shalavetchik understood that this was another reference here to the idea of Truth Mayava and the notion that we're able to be greater than we were before through the power of tshuva. And the notion of poke avon avos albanim, so Beit Obachia asked the question that doesn't seem to be fair, that the children should pay the price for the parents. So the Gemara says that it's only if they follow the paths of the parents. And Beit Obachia notes that it talks about four generations, because sometimes people are alive to see a fourth generation. So someone who sees parents and grandparents and great-grandparents sinning and still does the same thing, then it makes sense he should pay the price for following in that path. So now we continue past the Yigimah Midos with Pasuk Chasir by Yamara Moshe, by Yikor Arzo, by Yishtachu. So Moshe goes and he bows down. And the Birkei Yosef comments, which he got in his commentary to Aruch Chaim in Kufon Aleph, that he quotes from Arik, that during the Yigam Midos, you see that you should bow down a little bit, that even though the Gemara Brachas and Dapi Beis tells us that Kodesh Baruch was Zokif Kufim, so here you see this is the exception, you should bow down a little bit. And the Gemara Masechet and Daf Kufir Aleph Ben Aleph talks about what would make one bow from here. So the Rabbanan understands the Midas to Emes, and Gamaliel comments to Erech Apayim. And the Torah Tamim explains the difference here, that the Machlokas is about why is it that he bowed. It's either a Hodah because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's patience, or it's Tefillah because of the Emes. So now, commenting on the next pasuk, Yilechna Hashem Bekribeinu, Kiyam Kshu Arafu. So Shwab, this is the question, what does this have to do with anything? Because earlier, after a poking of an Ovos, it says Osonai, so Moshe quickly interrupts, so it shouldn't say that, but rather it should understand that they're not bad, just they're stubborn. But how could Moshe interrupt? That seems tremendously chutzpahdik. So explains that the whole point of this Yerida, of God coming down, was that Moshe should understand, that man in general should understand Hashem, so he should be able to ask. So then that's understood to be the invitation. The Moshe of Zakenim and the Chizkuni, they comment that he interrupted so that Hashem wouldn't add another generation. Ben Abachi and Ibn Ezra, they argue that if he did that, he would be Chayimisa for interfering in such a way. And the Otsu Plaus HaTorah comments that this is yet another example of Moshe Rabbeinu's Mesiras Nefesh for the Jews. And Shamshon Fal Hirsch notes that the obstinacy of the Jews make them most suitable for the revelation of the Torah. So Hashem should go among them and teach them directly and continue to forgive them. And each step brings them closer to perfection.
and perfect education. And Rav Soloveitchik commented perhaps in a similar fashion that this is the nature of the Jews, that they are slow to learn, but once they do, it sticks. Because their stubbornness, they are able to stay with it. And this is both the challenge of the Jewish people, but as well, they are continually blessed because of it.